is going to give them, or the kind of refinement they subject to. For some it's in their work, for some their future prospects.
Well, good evening, my friends. It is Friday night. I'm glad that you three are here anyway. You know, it's just kind of been one of those weeks, and actually it's kind of been, one of those several weeks, you know. And I'm not going to lie to you, I am a little bit semi-disappointed because there were some others I expected to be here tonight to hear this message, but apparently, I guess the title of it is hitting too close to home to them. they don't want to be part of it. So, you know, it is kind of sad to see this because, like I mentioned last night in our Bible study, the attacks on that pastor in Chicago, you know, it's just things I've been seeing lately, what's been going on in this world with non-believers and believers. Everybody's starting to have an attitude problem. Everybody's having a bad attitude. Everybody's having a stinking attitude. It just seemed like the attitude, what I'm expecting, especially with fellow brothers and sisters, Christians, you know, I expect us to have a better attitude than the world. But apparently it looks like the world is kind of blending in with our attitude, and it's really heartbreaking. It's been grieving me for the last several weeks now, about the last month and a half. Christians are not having a proper Christ-like attitude. You know, we've been going through our Bible lessons, and I've been soaking a lot of it in, you know, and preparing for those lessons. And I'm going to tell you, I've been watching a lot of Christians. Their attitudes stink. They got poor attitudes. They got bad news attitudes. They got rotten attitudes. They just got bad attitudes. I just don't want to be around them no more. It's a shame that one has to start thinking that way, you know. I don't want to be around that brother. I don't want to hear that brother anymore. I don't want to hear that sister. I don't want to hear that because I know of their bad attitudes. Look, I was like that myself once too. But the attitudes are starting to stink. It really is. And, you know, and everything that we've been talking about in our Bible lessons about following Jesus, folks, it seems like, you know, Christians are truly not really following Jesus. Oh, they won't follow him to a certain point, but they won't blend a little bit of themselves with them. I'm going to let you know something right now. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. As I mentioned in last week's message, we have to change. People need to change. Seems like, you know, whenever they are confronted about these things, look what happens, like with this chat. Starting to vanish. They don't want to hear truth. Y'all know me already. A dear friend of ours, Dot, she told me, she said, you know, Jim, I am very glad and grateful that you do not beat around the bush. And even if you have to tell truth sometimes, even though it hurts, it's refreshing to know that someone's willing to stand up and speak it. And a lot of times, you know, y'all know me, I will speak the truth. I'm not worried about hurting your feelings or whatever, because again, we need to be confronted with real truth so that way our hearts and our attitudes can change. So we can self-examine ourselves to see, you know, whenever we look ourselves like we're looking in a mirror, and I was reminded of a video, Lisa knows what it is Joe McGee. And he's got some real good teachings in there and some good, you know, funny stuff that he does too. But there was one just recently that was posted, I'll watch it, you know, and like Joe was saying, that we must be willing to stand before that mirror to see if what we are looking at is what we are claiming to be. Cold hard facts. But we need to examine ourselves and start thinking, should I change? And sometimes it's going to come with difficulties when you do start to change. It will. And folks, y'all been with me, you three at least, you know, is here. And those who are listening to this, you know, whether or not you join the Bible studies, you know, I'm really a little bit saddened too because, you know, got 190 people in Christian fellowship. 190 people. Only 5 keeps attending Bible studies. I was thinking about that last night during the lessons. 5 out of 190 people attends all lessons. Only 4 out of 190 is in his chat room. Now, don't get me wrong, the videos seems to be reaching people, because last night's lessons already had 30 views. 30 people watched it. I don't know who watches them because Facebook does not tell me. But it's just telling me out of 190 people that's in our chat that claims to know Jesus, love Jesus, talks Jesus, says Jesus, does not want to participate in Bible studies, don't want to take a little bit of their time to join the videos. Already some don't even try to join this ministry to try to present Jesus. It's boiling down to attitudes, people. It's boiling down to they're claiming to follow Jesus, but they're only following Jesus to a certain point, whichever suits them the best way they feel. It's breaking my heart. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Following Jesus means we have to change. We have to change. And if we're not willing to change and correct the deficiencies within ourselves, our attitudes, our words, our actions, we got a problem. You see, folks, because we are transformed into looking like Jesus when we say, yes, Jesus, when we mean Jesus for real, we're being transformed. And we should be more like him. And y'all heard me say this in our message last week. We should be more like him in our ABCs. Can anybody remember, if you were paying attention to the message last week, what the ABC meant? I'm going to put y'all to the test right now. Who remembers what ABC meant? Must not be doing a good job then. The ABCs means attitudes, behavior, and character. I may have to self-evaluate whether or not these messages are really doing any good. But today's message will be on attitudes. So, what is an attitude? Well, Webster defines an attitude as a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one dispositions, opinions, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Meaning, do whatever feels good. But now we need to understand one thing. Our attitudes may be socially acceptable and good, or they may send a very strong warning to everyone around and that we reject what others think or want. You see, folks, they send very strong warnings to everyone around and even to those that we reject what they think or want. You're going to understand a little bit of this because, see, lately, as I said, I've been watching attitudes, especially Christians, the things they've been posting, the things they've been saying, the things they've been doing. I've been pulling away from them because I had enough of it. It stinks. If they were to take all that time, they're so focused on other things, and put that into Christian ministries. As I said last night, we could turn this world upside down. We could, but we're not. You see, as Christians, the attitudes which we display towards their fellow man will have a great bearing on our relationship to God. It will. Next to knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, nothing is more important than having a good, positive attitude. And folks, your attitude can do several things. They can make or break you, heal or hurt you, make you friends or make you enemies, make you happy or make you miserable, make you success, or make you a failure. And some people think that the whole world stinks. Here's an example. A cranky old grandpa, he laid down to take a nap. To have a little fun, his grandson, he put some Limburger cheese under his mustache, right under his nose. Grandpa woke up and snored. He staggered out of the bedroom and he shouted, "This room stinks!" And on throughout the house he went, shouting louder, "This whole house stinks!" He charged out on the front porch and he shouted as loud as he could, "The whole world stinks!" The truth is, it was Grandpa who stunk. The problem was right under his nose. Let that sink in. You see, folks, 95 times out of 100, and this is a survey, I found this on the internet, I had to research to make sure it was actual facts. 95 times out of 100, when we begin to feel that things in life stink, the problem is not with the world or others, but with ourselves. The problem is that our attitude becomes negative. Change your negative attitudes into positive ones, and you can change your world. Lisa's going to be posting scriptures for tonight, and I had some boo-boos on that, so forgive me on that. I am reading out a New King James. But anyway, if you got your Bibles, let's go to Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And look what he says. "Has he told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we submit ourselves to you and your authority. And Father, as I was just sitting here meditating and listening to these songs that was playing just before the start of this, I don't know why people just don't seem to want to come to this no more. I kind of question myself, Lord, is it me? Is it the things that I'm saying? Is it something that I have to change? Or is it people who claim to follow your son don't truly want to listen to the truth anymore? I don't know whether I should stop, you know, ministering or what. It just seemed like people not caring, God. We just got a few, but it just seemed like those who put on a good show at first, but then slowly but surely, they faded away. And I think most of it's their attitudes. They're not displaying the proper attitude. So, Father, I ask you to bless those who are here tonight. Be with them, love them, let them know that you care for them. At least they took the time to show up. As for the others, do whatever you got to do. You know, I'm just going to get to the point, you do what you got to do. And deal with them in the way that you know how to deal with them, most of all. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, y'all know the title, and it's called The Power of Attitude. Now, someone, I forgot where I got this quote, I should have wrote it down, but it was pretty good. Someone had rightly said that attitude is not aptitude that determines one attitude in life. Good thought. Attitude is not aptitude that determines one attitude in life. So, folks, this message basically applies to all of us. Whether you're squirming in your chairs, and those of you who happens to listen to this later on, if you're squirming in your seat, or you're going to click stop, I don't want to listen to more of that, because I know where he's going with this message. He's going to start telling me I'm bad and this and that. You know, I don't want to hear it, you know. So, well, that's fine. But the message does apply to all of us, because we all do have attitudes. I do. Recently did. And sometimes they are good, and sometimes they are not so good. And other times they are just plain outright nasty. So in tonight's message, folks, we're going to be revealing three facts about your attitude, me included. Three facts about your attitude. Fact one, your attitude reveals the real you. Your attitude reveals the real you. So how important is your attitude? Well, your attitude is more important than facts, circumstances, or what others say. It's more important than your past, your education, and your money. Your attitude is more important than anything else. And understand this, that your attitude is much deeper than just a few thoughts you might think or not think. Your attitude comes out of the core of your being. Your attitude represents your disposition, your outlook, your very character. How so? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Look what it says. That's the Bible. That's not me. It says in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." Wow. Folks, Jesus himself even said this, "Your attitudes always becomes actions or reactions." Your attitude always becomes actions or reactions. So let's visualize it in this way. Let's help you get a better perspective of what all this is about. You see, the attitudes inside of you is like a jack-in-the-box. Have you ever played with one of them? I have. I'm not trying to reveal nobody's age, but y'all, if you played with a jack-in-the-box, you know where I'm going with this. You turn that little handle all around the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush. You turn around like the mulberry bush, and when you least expect it, bam! Up he pops out. Whew. Now that's a vivid picture of our attitude. That's right. That's a vivid picture of our attitude. That little handle's going around and around and around, and when you least expect it, it jumps out. It'll pop out. And eventually, it will cause people to either like us or dislike us. It's going to do one of those two things, but when you least expect it, it's going to pop out. You see, much louder than words you speak is the attitude that keeps telling people, let me go slow, because I do have a funky accent. You know, I can't talk very well. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't have a real good speaking voice. But see, folks, louder than words you speak is your attitude that keeps telling people what you are really like. It keeps telling people what you're really like. And personally, I find it's true that my attitude reveals the real me. And sometimes I don't like it. To be quite sobering, I like to say, like many others do, when I do or say something that is obviously wasn't the right thing, I didn't mean it. But where did that come from? Where did that come from? Truth be told, it came from the inside. When I have a negative, nasty, critical attitude, that's the real me. And when you have one, that's the real you. No ifs, no buts. Now understand this. We don't have an attitude just because we have a bad day. Nope. That's not an excuse to use, folks. We don't have an attitude just because we have a bad day. We can't use that as an excuse. We allow it due to not having self-control of the Holy Spirit. Y'all know what the fruits of the Spirit is, and one of them is self-control. So if we have a negative or bad attitude, we are not under self-control of the Holy Spirit. We're under the flesh. So fact one, your attitude reveals the real you. Fact two, your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. It does. Look what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 has to say about that. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." See, folks, what a difference your attitude makes. Your attitude affects every relationship in your life. And sometimes relationships will never get started in the first place because many times your attitude has built up walls, making it very difficult for people to be around you. I run across many like that. Bad attitudes affects your marriage, relationships with your relatives, relationship with your kids, at work, at church, and even your closest friends. And the thing is, and the thing that makes the bad attitude so destructive is like a jar of water with a loose lid on it. A bad attitude eventually is going to spill out into some negative actions, destructive words, and deeds. To give you such an example, you know, if you read the Bible, and if you get back into Numbers, read chapter 12 in Numbers. And here's a good example of bad attitudes. Here in that chapter, we see two brothers and one sister. Two brothers and one sister in Numbers chapter 12. One brother, Moses, had a good attitude. The Bible says that Moses was a humbled man, more humble than anyone on the face of the earth. In other words, Moses was teachable and cooperative. He treated people as he wanted to be treated, and he lived a life that was properly lined up with the Heavenly Father. He was a humbled man. But Moses' brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, on the other hand, they chose the bad attitude. They chose the bad attitude, and they eventually spilled out. Miriam seemed to have the worst attitude. She infected her brother, Aaron. She messed him up. In fact, Miriam and Aaron both got together and began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. They didn't like the woman he married. They didn't like the fact that she was a Cushite wife. Oh, they hated it. Get the picture? Here they are now, friends. Here they are, family members whom Moses thought that he can count on and trust. And they're going around his back, criticizing him, stirring up trouble among God's people against their leader, their own brother, Moses, because of a bad attitude. Folks, you can never trust people with bad attitudes because they will do things that you never thought they would do. I tried trusting people, and some people had bad attitudes, but I thought they were going to change. But you know what? I regret it. You see, most people who stir up trouble, they do so not out of the right reasons, but out of bad attitudes. The fact that Moses had married a Cushite wife was not really the problem at all. It was not the problem at all. The real problem here, folks, was it was Miriam. She had a long-standing bad attitude. Oh, it ate her up. And this bad attitude, it stemmed from the jealousy of her brother's position and leadership. That's right. She was jealous of Aaron. She didn't like it that he was kind of put up there on the ladder. And out of her poor self-esteem, that she allowed herself to become critical and chose to cause trouble. And oftentimes, the things that we criticize and get all stirred up about are not the problem at all. It's usually not the problem at all. The problem is our own sour, sick, bad attitude. I've seen them. I'm sure that you have seen them. I'm sure that you've seen those bad attitudes. They destroy marriages. They destroy families. They create bad work environments. They mess up board meetings in a church. Ladies meeting. They can destroy a church service. And the list goes on and on and on. You know, you get those bad attitudes involved in that. That's it. All hell breaks loose. You see, whenever you have an individual or a group of people filled with a bad attitude and wearing a loose lid like a jar of water, trouble is bound to happen. Things will rapidly get negative. Fact one, your attitude is the real you. Fact two, your attitude determines the success and failure of every relationship in your life. Fact three, your attitude is always your choice. Your attitude is always your choice. Look what Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says here. I love this passage. And it says, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say your mind. Doesn't say someone else's mind. It's saying let Christ's mind be in you. That's why I said, folks, fact three, your attitude is your choice. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And if we're posting garbage, talking about garbage, saying garbage, this and that, garbage in is garbage out. Garbage in is garbage out. You do not have a Christ-like mindset. Your mind's on the things of the world. Your mind's on the things of self. If your mind was on the mind of Christ, if your mind was Christ, you would not be doing those things. You will not be saying those things. You will not be acting that way. But you're making a choice to be that way. How terrible. With this in mind, I want you to understand this. With this in mind, right thinking produces right actions. Right thinking produces right actions. Our actions are the fruit of our deepest thoughts in you. Our actions are the fruit of our deepest thoughts in you. Here's an example. Two men are in prison. One looks out through the bars and sees only mud, while the other looks out through the same bars and he sees moons and stars and trees and birds and skies and the whole nine yards. They're both in the same place. So what's the difference? It's the attitude of choice. It's the attitude of choice. And without a doubt, the human mind is the most awesome creation of God. It is. I mean, the body is an awesome creation too, but the mind is an awesome creation from God. With it, that God has given us the ability to think, to reason, and to choose whether we will focus on positive thoughts or negative thoughts. In every one of our lives, folks, there is a positive and a negative. The choice is, which one will we focus on and feed and nurture on is up to us. Which one will you focus on, feed on, and nurture on? Choice is up to you. I find it both interesting and tragic that one thing that no person or circumstances can ever take away from us, the awesome power to choose our attitude. Nobody can take that away from us. But usually, it's the first thing we give up. Whew. Usually, it's the first thing we give up. Usually, it's the first thing that we give away. What attitude are you going to choose? So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. If we allow events and people to cause us to be negative, we're only hurting ourselves more, because in addition to everything else that we know, those effects and miseries that we can cause and say are that those who have bad attitudes will bring us nothing more than more misery. They're going to bring you nothing more but more misery. You see, friends, your attitude reveals the real you. It determines the success of every relationship. It is always your choice of what you do and who you listen to. It's always a choice of what you do or who you listen to. It's always a choice. Now, before we leave for tonight, and I thought about this long and hard, and those of you who's listening to this audio podcast, whatever you want to call it, I implore you, pay attention to what I'm about to say. So those of us who are here tonight, those of us who will be listening to this later on, let's start by speaking positive words. Let's change. Let us all change. Let's start by speaking positive words. Those of you who are hung up on doom and gloom and end times and death and all that, friends, I'm telling you right now, I'm sending a notice to you. You keep it up, you're going to find yourself away from me. And you're not going to be welcome in this place anymore, because I don't want to hear these things no more. Those of you who's on the internet listening to you, to me right now, that's in that big Christian fellowship group, that hears this audio podcast, if you hear this, and you're the ones that are speaking all these conspiracy theories and all these other things, and all these doom and glooms and death and all that other stuff, again, you're going to find yourself unfriended and possibly removed from the group. It's time for us to start acting what we have got, the mind of Christ, not the things of the world. We need to start having more positive attitude and less negativity. So the first step in becoming a more positive person is to work at learning how to speak positive words. Now, I ain't talking no feel-good message, but I'm speaking truth. That negative stuff has got to go, because it tears people down. And if you're a Christian, your job is to exhort, not tear down. You should uplift, not rip apart. You should encourage, not discourage. You see, you're doing all the sinful things, but yet you're quick to point the finger at someone. You are in sin if you do this and do this and do this. But yet you're the ones that's causing the majority of it. We need to start speaking more positive words. Positive in, positive out. Thank you, Lisa. Because the reality is, you help create the atmosphere in which you live by the words you speak. And when your words are positive, you produce a creative, loving, acceptable, positive environment. On the other hand, when you speak negative words, you create an atmosphere that people no longer want to be around, and worst off, they will no longer want to be around you. They will start avoiding you or eventually break away from you altogether. I've been doing that. I'm tired of it. So therefore, the proper attitude, the task of a Christian, a real, true, blue follower of Jesus Christ, this is what we should be doing. The task of a Christian life is eliminating negative words in their conduct, in their speech, and to do away with words that hurt and tear down. How about you start by replacing them with positive words, words that build up, words that edify, words that encourage others? How about you start doing that? Here's an illustration. Have you ever heard about the two guys who were in jail? Tom, he tried to be real positive no matter the situation. One day he sees his buddy Joe walking down the hall. And Tom says, "Hey, Joe, what's happening? Where are you going?" Joe looks at him and says, "To the electric chair." And Joe replied. And Tom looked at him. "More power to you." Well, at least Tom was trying to speak positive words. You might say his heart was in the right place, but the choice of the words that he used was not. You see, folks, beginning today, that's why I wish more would have been here. I see everybody who logs in and out here, they see the title. I see a lot of people make excuses. Oh, well, I'm a night hawk. You know, I stay up all night long, but yet, you know, I go to bed in the evenings. Oh, well, yeah, I know what time y'all start, but, you know, But you know, usually when I watch after the sermon's over with, they all come back into the room. So I'm going to challenge you who are here tonight and those of you who's listening to this podcast. Beginning today, this is what I want you to do. Beginning today, in fact, I dare you to try a little experiment to everyone you meet. Whether it's at a gas station, at a store, at home, at work, at church, or in social media. Try to say something positive and uplifting instead of saying something negative. Again, try to start saying something positive instead of something negative wherever you are at. Do this for 1 week. Do this all day long for 1 week. And see what happens. See what happens. You probably would have a great week. Why? Because positive words create a loving, creative environment in which people want to live. A positive person, and look, that's the kind of a person I want to be around. It's not one who refuses to recognize the negative, meaning they know the truth. They know there are plenty of negatives out there. But he refuses to dwell on him. He decides, you know what, it's time to change. Remember, folks, there's always a negative and a positive in every person and situation. Always. It's up to us to change. It's up to us to be more positive and less negative. You see, just like those two dudes in that jail looking out at the bars, one saw mud and one saw the stars and the skies and the birds and everything else. Each one had a different attitude. And what we can do, we can look at the land and we can always see giants if this is what we are looking for. If this is what we are looking for. If we're looking for a negative, you're going to be around negative. Or you can do as I just challenged you to do. Change that negativity and turn it into a positivity. And start doing it every day for a week. Well, as I said, we can look at the same land and we can see the land flowing with milk and honey. It's a matter of focus. It's a matter of focus. It's a matter of choosing what you will look for. It's a matter of perspective of what you are going to start to do in a Christ-like way. If you want things to work out for you in your life, if you want a good attitude, you need to focus on the positive. Look for the good, friends. Look for the good in every situation. I know there's bad. I know there's bad people we encounter. I know there's people we dread. Oh, I don't want to be around that person. Oh, I don't want to talk to that person. Oh, I know that person is going to have a funky attitude. Oh, I know this person is going to have a bad attitude. Oh, man, you know, I don't know what to do. You know what? See, you're pulling yourself into the negative mode. Yeah, they will try your patience. Oh, they're going to push you to your limits. They're going to want to make you raise your fists up and knock their block off. But we, as followers of Jesus, as I've been illustrating to you in our Bible lessons, We should be demonstrating love. Love. And you start focusing on that heavenly love. You start focusing on the things of heaven. You start focusing on the right positive attitudes. Man, look, let me tell you, I'm bragging on myself. Y'all have seen me changed. Y'all seen me changed. Why did that happen? Why did a change in me happen? Why? Can someone tell me why did the change in me happen? If you've been paying attention to me and watching me, you should know the answer. Don't be afraid. I'm putting you on the spot. No takers, I guess. Thank you, dear. That happened because I decided to have a better attitude, an attitude for God. You see, that's why I said it's a matter of focus. I started focusing on the things of Jesus. I started focusing on the things of God. Not of myself, not of my circumstances, not of my trials, not of my tribulations, not of me. My attitude was more devoted to focus on Him. And it hurts. It's hell. But it transformed my heart. And as I've been covering in our Bible lessons, as that's been illustrated, being grafted into that vine and started demonstrating Christ-like love, that love's been transforming me. I now have compassion for people. And I love them. So if you want things to change in your life, if you want a good attitude, friends, you need to focus on the positives. Focus on the positive. Look good in every situation and every person, and you're going to find it. You're going to find it. And once you start focusing on the proper attitudes, you're going to live for Jesus. You're going to live for Jesus with the right mindset. And you're going to change. See, folks, as we just quoted a few times in this message, if you put God in, remember what I said last night, how Jesus was hearing from the Father, and everything flowed from the Father through Jesus, and it flowed through Jesus, and it flowed to us? Well, this is what happens to us when our attitudes and our hearts is in the right place. When we put God in, you get God out. Oof. I'm tingling right now just thinking about that. When you put God in, you get God out. Put God's words into your mind, into your hearts, and into your speech. And when you start doing so, your speech, your attitudes, and your actions is going to demonstrate who you really are. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord Jesus, we thank you again for allowing us to be here tonight. And Father, again, I'm not making no excuses for any message that I've been preaching. I know there's got people out there that don't like to hear these things. I'm not concerned about them, you know, I am in a way, but you get what I'm saying. I'm not worrying about what the message needs to be said, because I think the truth needs to be told. And we need to hear things to convict our hearts. Because, Father, I've been seeing a lot of Christians today. It seems like there's no conviction in their hearts anymore. Yeah, I've been speaking about attitudes throughout the night. There are many ministers out there, oh, they're preaching that feel-good attitude, that lovey-dovey stuff. But that's not helping them. That's not telling them the real truth. We can do so still in a loving way, but to steer them back on the right path. That's what the song was about. We need to walk the path. We need to walk the walk. We need to be willing to endure what your words has been saying. We're going to endure things and hardships and pains and troubles and tribulations and you name it. You told us life was not going to be easy. I wish it was. But our attitude has to change. It has to be focused on who our strength comes from. I don't claim to have all the answers. My attitude still stinks. It still sucks. But you're changing it. Because I don't want to be focused on those negative things no more. I want to see what you can do. I want to see revival take place. I want to see people's lives transformed. I want to see your wondrous miracle at work. Oh, Father, I want to see you from glory to glory. I want to see these things. And this is the only way things is going to change, that we have to change our attitudes. We have to change who we are. Because if we don't allow the attitudes to change, how are we going to truly see your face? We need it now. And those of you who are listening, if you listen through this whole message without leaving because you became offended by what you heard, change your attitude. Quit with the nonsense. Start being more positive. And let's act like Jesus. And be like Jesus, and walk like Jesus, and talk like Jesus, and live like Jesus. If we did, oh wow, we would see radical changes in our lives. I have. I've been seeing blessings and miracles coming down from heaven. You know what? Because I had not been paying attention to you. I have not been giving the glory to you. But once I stepped back and had an attitude adjustment, I realized how wrong I was. Oh, God, thank you for loving me and reprogramming me and giving me a new heart. I thank you for all the love and support that you have shown all of us. I thank you for your blessings and your directions and your growth. Most of all, I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you paid it all, and you've done it for me. We thank you, we love you, we praise you and honor you. All in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.